Well, for the short time that we have, let's turn to James. James chapter 1. We've been going through this for some time on the days that we have an afternoon service. And of course, James speaks of a belief that behaves. And we're going to be getting to verse 22, not today, but next time. But verses 22 and following are the verses that we are probably most familiar with, where it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only." Today we're going to look at the verse that just precedes that, verse 21, which says, "Wherefore," now because of the word "wherefore," we've got to go back to the previous verses. We have somewhat of a contrast here. James had been saying in verses 19 and 20 that everyone should be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we saw the fact that to accept the truth requires the right timing. To be ones to hear, we must be swift. For those who speak, slow down. And when it comes to wrath, slow to wrath. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So whereas last time when we were in verses 19 and 20, we looked at the fact that accepting the truth requires the right timing. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Today we are looking at the fact that accepting the truth of God's word, as we're going to see in verses 22 and following, requires the right taking. The right taking. You say, "I don't see the word taking in that verse." Well, it's actually the word "lay apart." The words "lay apart." And it literally means to take off as a garment. So, in contrast to verse 20, where it talks about the wrath of man not working the righteousness of God, take off some things. Take it off like a garment. And two things are mentioned. The first thing, let's call dirt, all filthiness. Filthiness is literally dirt. That which is inconsistent with the Christian life. Some of you in the adult Bible class knew that we climbed the incline yesterday. The thing that I enjoyed the most after that was taking a shower. Because being in 90-some degree weather and sweat and dirt flying all over, I was filthy, dirty. When you just rub your face like this and you get dirt in your hands, you know you're dirty. It's literally that which is being talked about here. Take off the dirt. It's inconsistent with the Christian life. Now, we can't help but get dirty. That's not an excuse for keeping the dirt. That is a reason for taking it off. Even as Christians, we get dirty. We tend to get used to being dirty spiritually because it's easy to get dirty physically. Remove the dirt. All filthiness. All filthiness, take it off. But then there's another word, and that's translated this way, "and superfluity of naughtiness." Now, I don't know what you think of when you think of the word naughty, but I always think of my mom saying, "You're being naughty." I mean, it's not a word that you would typically think of for somebody doing something that is really bad, but it really has to do with depravity. All superfluity of depravity or vice. But then the word "superfluity" is kind of confusing. Because if something is superfluous, what is it? Well, it's extra. It's like it's something, it is more than what you need. Which, if you read the King James here, you're thinking, oh, well, just take off all the, you know, the over-wickedness. See, a little bit is okay. Isn't this the way you've viewed this in the past? I'm the only one? Okay, Brandon, thank you. Must be an unruh thing. All superfluity of naughtiness. It's literally talking about an abundance. James is not saying that there's a certain amount of naughtiness that is proper for the Christian. That's not what he's saying. Rather, what he is saying is this. There's a whole lot of it. All of us deal in our Christian lives because the old man is still there, and there's a lot of it. Get rid of it. There is so much wickedness that we're tempted to give up on removing it. James is saying, no, there's an abundance of it that all of us need to take care of. And he uses the word all when he says, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness. It is so emphasized in the original. Society has introduced into our society so much filth, so much pollution, so many lies, so much distortion that it's hard to throw it all out. After a while, there's so much of it. It's almost like living in Sodom and Gomorrah, like Lot, and going, I'm vexed with all of this. There's so much of it that you tend to say, okay, a little bit's okay. Maybe I can just put up with this much, but I'm going to get rid of the rest. But man, it's impossible to get rid of it all. The word all is used here. Get rid of all of it. The word all refers to both words. It's like a commentator said, God is never satisfied with partial purity, partial goodness, partial righteousness, and neither should we. Never tolerate any amount of impurity. Get rid of it all. So there's the taking off. I'm saying that to accept the truth, there must be the right taking. First of all, the taking off. And you'll note that before you are to take on in the second part of that verse, because then it says, and receive. First, there's that first part of the verse, take off all the filthiness, the dirt, and the depravity. Now, before the word can be effectively welcomed into your life, you cannot take on and receive, which is the second thing that we see in this verse, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. I love this differentiation in the original, because the word receive is in the New Testament, and it appears as multiple Greek words. One Greek word just means, you know, you take it, I accept it. Another Greek word, the one that is used here, says, I not only take it, I welcome it. Have you ever taken something you really didn't welcome? Somebody hands you you're at the table and the host comes and she brings out, what is that stuff my wife makes that she's not here for me to say? Well, she's not going to hear it. Brussels sprouts. Anybody else hate Brussels sprouts? See, majority wins. I do not like Brussels sprouts. So she brings those out. I take them, but I don't welcome it. Okay? But when she brings the mashed potatoes, the gravy, and the meat, it's not just lambano take, it's decami. That's the word take here that means I welcome it. Folks, that's the word that's used here. Welcome with meekness the engrafted word. It's a sense of urgency. It's like the difference between receiving guests and welcoming guests. There's some guests you receive, there's some you welcome. And it talks about the Bereans in Acts 17:11 who received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What do you think the word received there is? They didn't just take it, they welcomed it. That's how we should receive the word of God. It should be welcomed into our lives. So, this is your taking on. It's your receiving. It's your welcoming. But notice what we have here. Two things about the taking on. First of all, what you take. What are you taking or receiving or welcoming in verse 21? The engrafted word. The engrafted word. And the image is actually planting, not grafting a tree, but it's actually having to do with planting. It's receiving or welcoming the implanted word, which was implanted at the time of regeneration and begins to take root. It's already implanted. Welcome it into your life, which, verses 22 to 25, is evidenced not just by hearing, but by doing. Paul or James is saying here, welcome the implanted word before he gets to being doers of it. It'll be so much easier to be doers of the word rather than just hearers if you have welcomed in the implanted word. Note that the power of the seed to root, talking about implanting here, the power of the seed to root itself is not automatic. The picture is the parable of the soils. We see in Luke chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13, when the sower sows, the heart must not be hard, it must not be shallow, it must not be congested, it must be receptive. The welcoming response. And then notice the last part of the verse. Receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God has power to save the soul, but it must be welcomed and believed for salvation to result. So what do you take? The implanted word. But there's one other thing that is clarifying something here. It's not just receive or welcome the engrafted word. I'm missing something here. What am I missing? What am I not saying yet? It's how you take it, with meekness. Meekness is the opposite of the wrath mentioned in verses 19 to 20. And as somebody said, when you receive the word with meekness, you accept it. You welcome it. You do not argue with it. You honor it as the word of God. You do not try to twist it to conform to your thinking. There is no back talk. You are accepting it just as it is. That's meekness. I am not trying to change it. I'm not trying to make excuses. With meekness, I accept it. How many times have you ever heard the Bible preached, taught, or just having your devotions where you know there needs to be a change in your life and you argue with it? You have now set yourself up over the word of God. That's not meekness. But when I am meek, I welcome it. It's implanted in my life. And I understand it's able to save the soul as a believer. So the question is, as we finish this particular section, is this: what is your response to the word of God in your daily life? Every day. Is it the right response? Is the truth difficult to accept? Are you welcoming the word? Or are you fighting back? The right response is necessary. So many times when you see Jesus talking and preaching, he gives parables. And he did so for this reason: in order to explain the truth to his disciples and to hide it from those who would not welcome it. It's hard to think that way, but there were times Jesus would speak a parable so that most people wouldn't understand what he was saying. The people who would not receive what he'd already said. They had closed their ears, they had closed their eyes, so now he closes their ears and he closes their eyes. Somebody calls the parables, especially the seed of the sower, parable of the soils, parables of judgment. And I trust that each of us as Christians, when we hear the word preached, taught, read it in our devotions, we welcome it, understanding it is the engrafted, the implanted word which is able to save souls. Lord, may we always come to your word with the right attitude, praying even that thou wouldst open our eyes that we might see wondrous things out of your law, that we might pray for understanding, that we might understand the scriptures. Lord, use it in our lives, in our hearts for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.